This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and I hope you enjoyed the various concerts we broadcast the last couple of weeks while I was off for that time. Our show today features some jazz, the Chris Raymond Trio, featuring Chris Raymond on piano, Mark O'Connor on sax, and Chris Nolte on bass. We'll introduce them all in a little bit and hear them play lots of tunes during the hour. They are appearing in an hour-long program at the Mills Breast Cancer Institute at Carl Clinic in Urbana, part of their Noontime Music Series that runs Thursdays throughout the year. That is a free program, and this will be, I presume, a preview. We'll find out if we're hearing some of the tunes they'll play then or if we get some exclusivity or not. We'll also have a calendar later on in the program of music and theater events for you to go out and enjoy. It's the Chris Raymond Trio coming up on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. That was guitarist Jason Vio playing one of the tunes from something he calls Five Songs in the Form of a Baroque Suite, all the songs by Pat Metheny, this one called Antonia, which he adapted sort of as Bach might have, I suppose, is the theory, if he were going to do a guitar suite of movements called Prelude, Allemande, Chaconne, and things like this. This was the one that Jason Vio called the Allemande, Antonia by Pat Metheny here on WYLL FM and HD Urbana. The program's Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and my guests this hour are the Chris Raymond Trio, who consist of the namesake, Chris Raymond on the piano, or a keyboard in this case, electronic keyboard. Mark O'Connor is the sax player. What do you have there? Tenor.
Tenor
yeah. Sax. Mm-hmm. Chris Nolte is the bassist. Chris Nolte actually making his second appearance on Live and Local, which we may come back to a little later on. They're here partly because they're doing a show on Thursday, part of the Noontime series on Thursdays at the Mills Breast Cancer. I can never say that right. Mills Breast Cancer Institute at Carl Clinic, and they're doing an hour-long free show on Thursday. So thank you all, gentlemen, for coming in.
Glad
you're welcome.
Here. Thanks for having us.
And making sure I had a show for my first day back after a few weeks and a day off. Chris, I actually have your bio in front of me, but I don't have the other guys. Give us just, I'm not going to read it, but I might refer to a couple of things because that I'm curious about. But tell us how you got to where you're doing and what made you decide to form this particular trio.
Well, I've been playing jazz in Central Illinois for quite some time, about over a decade actually, since I was in high school in Decatur. I've been playing with various types of groups, and I've tried to keep some sort of trio active throughout, no matter what the instrumentation is, just because it's kind of the smallest amount of instruments you can have and still cover all of the parameters, so to speak. So it can be the most interactive group because there's very few people. And a lot of times I play with a drummer and a bass player. That's kind of the standard jazz piano trio. But I thought for the event on Thursday, it made more sense to not have a drummer. I think I haven't seen the space yet, but I heard that it was kind of a live spot, and I thought that the drums might be a little overpowering.
I'm told it's pretty live, but yeah. I haven't been to one of the programs either since I have a gig at noon.
I've been wanting to explore trio playing without a drummer more recently anyway, so this was a good excuse to let that happen.
And how easy is it, in this case, Mark O'Connor, you're the one jumping in place of the drummer.
Right.
And sax and drums, you know, they work well together, but not usually the obvious substitute. How does it work for you to jump into a spot that is normally would be occupied by a very different instrument?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I think actually I've done a fair amount of drummerless trio playing at restaurants, all over the place, and it's cool because the absence of the drummer actually makes everybody else more rhythmically responsible, and that's for me that comes pretty naturally because I love playing rhythmically anyway. So,
well, I mean, so are you saying that if a drummer is there, then people have license to be not so responsible rhythmically?
Basically, I mean, it kind of frees everybody up. I mean, we still have to stay along the same roadmap and things like that. But I mean, having the drummer there kind of provides that rhythmic bed that we can play off of and maybe take it out of time. As a soloist, I can take it out of time a little bit more with him there and then come back into it, you know. But when we're doing it, when we do a trio setting, it's, we have to kind of make up for the lack of a drummer.
So you would play a solo rather differently in a drummerless trio than in one with the drums?
Yeah, somewhat, yeah.
Of course, Chris Nolte is the bassist. You're always like the other rhythmic guy.
Sure.
I mean, everybody's obviously got to have rhythm. If you don't have rhythm, then what are you doing in a group like this or playing jazz? But you've got to be used to that anyway.
Yeah. I mean, the bass is one of the fundamental timekeepers in any type of jazz setting. And in a drummerless trio like this, that responsibility just gets ratcheted up a little bit, which I don't mind at all. I welcome that challenge. I've always loved playing in a group like this without drums. I've always enjoyed playing in ensembles that are slightly different from the norm, I guess, if you will. I mean, I love playing in piano trios, which is like Chris said, is kind of the standard. But a group like this, I've really enjoyed playing. And the other trio that I tend to put together myself is a sax trio with just sax, bass, and drums. And what that does is kind of the same thing. Like, you know, since you're getting rid of a comping instrument like the piano that's taking care of playing all the harmony, then a lot more of that, the harmony goes on my plate. So it's really kind of neat as a bass player in these different kinds of trios to experience what that extra responsibility really is to be able to make that music.
You use that term comping. What does that mean exactly?
That just refers to the improvising that the non-soloist performers are doing. You know, everyone's improvising all at the same time, but we tend to have one person that's the soloist, that's in the forefront, and what everyone else is doing is improvising something that accompanies what the soloist is doing. So that's what we refer to when we're talking about comping.
So comp is short for accompany?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that. I suppose that's one of those things
you could say it's also short for a compliment, too, but
yeah,
you know, either one works.
Sure.
You know?
So it's not official.
No.
There might be an official. We'd have to use Wikipedia for that if they even comment.
Yeah, I'll go write the article right now, actually.
Hey, you could, and then leave it open for other people to add or subtract as needed. Well, let's find out a little bit what this drummerless trio sounds like. What do you want to... How would you like to start?
I think we're going to play an old standard called It Can Happen to You.
This is the Chris Raymond Trio in Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Let's just do a chorus up front, and okay, we'll all kind of do something, and then we'll state the theme.
Okay.
Per se.
All
great.
Right. Thank you.
Chris Raymond Trio here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Chris Raymond's the pianist, Mark O'Connor the sax, Chris Nolte bassist. And what was the name of that tune again?
That was It Could Happen to You.
By?
Ooh.
That's the thing about those standards,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's what we call a jazz standard. Yeah,
yeah, somebody wrote it, but it's just
I don't
into
know.
The...
Van Heusen?
It sounds close to being right.
Yeah.
Another job for Google in this case.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, is that pretty common where you know a tune but don't necessarily remember the composer?
It's common for me, that's for sure. And sometimes you know the tune and can't even remember the title.
Yeah. I mean, in the classical world, if you just said, "Oh, that was a Symphony Number 4,"
right?
Okay, that really narrows it down, even though it's a standard.
Sure.
Well, I think a lot of times, at least in my case, and I think this is true for a lot of jazz musicians, is we play tunes that we've never heard the original version of. Mm-hmm. You know, some of these tunes are from shows that we've never seen. So I find that interesting and something that I at one point tried to remedy, but there's just so much to go through.
Well, so, how would you remedy that?
You know, go out and try and find some old recordings of shows, you know, whether it's audio or video recording, and try and hear the original versions, or try and find manuscripts of the shows.
And by a show, you mean
like a musical Broadway show.
Yeah.
So is that a show tune then, as far as you know?
I think a show or maybe a film.
It could be from a film. Right. It's true.
So yeah. Now if this were a call-in show, which it isn't, we would be having the phones ringing off the hook. So, I know that tune. And then we'd have to start giving away prizes and things.
Yeah,
like
well, that's
that.
One of the things that I like about playing gigs is, you know, I play tunes that I know of as jazz tunes, you know, jazz musicians play them, and someone else will come up to me and say, "Oh, that's from this show, you know, you should see the show," and it has a whole different association for them.
I also think a lot of times when I do get around to hearing the original version of some of these tunes, I'm usually floored by how different they are from how they're usually approached now.
Yeah.
Oftentimes the one that gets me the most is a lot of times that tunes that are played by jazz musicians that rather up tempos, or a lot of times were originally ballads that for whatever reason it was decided, well, maybe we should play this as fast as possible as opposed to playing it as the ballad that it was originally written as. So
sort of like playing a game of telephone.
Sure.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You start it one way, and by the time it gets around the circle, who knows what it has become, and mm-hmm. Probably barely recognizable, particularly when you start improvising around it, then anything happens anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To a degree, you know, Chris Raymond, you said at the beginning before you started playing, you said, let's do a chorus up front, then state the theme. What did that tell you all exactly to do?
Well, that basically just means that particular tune, which most Tin Pan Alley or Broadway tunes are 32 measures long. And so we basically will take the harmonic structure of that 32-bar tune.
That usually doesn't include the verse, which
right,
is
that's
very
right.
often just completely forgotten about.
That's right, yeah. Normally we just play the chorus of a lot of these tunes. But we take that harmonic structure of the 32-bar chorus and play through it once without any kind of pre-decided idea of what to play. I think mm-hmm. that probably sums it up the
and
best.
not trying to play the melody during that first pass through the chorus.
Right, we're purposefully avoiding playing the melody.
And then you jump in on the tune.
Yeah, we were basically creating an intro without there actually being an intro. You know, we could have just started right on the tune, but we decided to not.
Well, you didn't even decide. Chris just said do
I
it
decided.
And then you did it.
That's how it works.
Which is I mean, there's so many things that just amaze me about playing jazz anyway. And then later on towards the end, you're doing some really quick passing back and forth of just short segments.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm looking around to try to see visual signals for how you know that you're going to decide to do that. I didn't see anything. Well, so how did you decide to do that?
It's actually a very it's a common practice in jazz playing. A lot of times with a drummer we'll do trading, so instead of just letting the drummer play, for some reason we have this idea about drum solos where instead of everyone else gets accompaniment, but as soon as it's a drum solo we all stop playing. And I think it's usually because the drummer plays so loud. You know, when it's their solo they think they have to play louder, and then everyone else drops out also, so it's an abrupt change. So instead of doing that, letting them just play by themselves for an extended period, we'll do trading, phrasing, like trade eight measures or trade four measures. And so I just kind of transplanted that idea to this and let the bass player do some trading. So he didn't have to play by himself. I guess I could have accompanied him the whole time, but I thought it'd be a good way to do some interacting.
But what was the signal that told you to do
well,
that?
Well, basically, I think I signaled it by playing eight measures at the beginning of the chorus, and then I stopped playing and let him play. So we all kind of agreed at that moment that we were going to trade eights.
Well, I think even more specifically, when Mark was finishing up his solo and he was looking around kind of letting us know that he was done, I kind of expected that I was going to solo choruses. And then Chris kind of swooped in and started playing. And the moment he did that, I just instinctively knew, oh, he wants to trade. I'm going to wait and see how many measures he wants to trade and go from there. Again, it's a lot of these common practice things that jazz musicians have a tendency to we learn over time, and then we just kind of input them there wherever we might need them at any point in time.
Well, they become instinctive, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as I said, I was looking for signals. I don't know where they are here.
Well, it's interesting too that another signal you could say is that most people in a group they only take one solo per tune. So when Chris came back in improvising, like Chris Nolte said, he instinctively knew that we were going to trade because people don't normally take more than one solo. There's some exceptions, but...
But the trio is named after him, so he can do whatever he wants.
he could take three solos, three different solos.
And, I'm not sure if I was even positive when I came in. I actually had the idea of possibly just playing another short little solo and then going into the melody, so kind of a buffer between what Mark did and what was going to happen. So I wasn't even really sure until I started playing, and then I thought, okay, yeah, we'll do some trading. And then I hadn't decided on the length either until I got to the fourth measure and didn't stop. So really a lot of it was just, it can be very fluid because we can be more interactive in this setting, I think.
Well, and that's something I was going to ask you because you mentioned that earlier where you said in a small group like this, it tends to be more interactive than certainly than a big band or even just a larger combo, I guess.
Right.
Chris, I know you're in the Chris Raymond. I know you're in the doctoral program in the jazz performance at the University of Illinois. Chris Nolte, you are also, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Were you going to follow?
No.
and Mark, what about
I am,
you? Also,
I am as well. Yeah.
And Chris, you seem to come by jazz a little naturally. I didn't realize until somebody just told me the other day that your dad is Randy Raymond, who teaches trumpet and does the jazz programs at Millikan.
Yes, yeah.
And you said you're from Decatur, and you're now doing some teaching at Millikan as well.
Right.
In cooperation with your dad, or?
He hired me, yes. first he, put a roof over my head, and then he gives me a job. It's great. but actually, most of the things I do there are pretty independent from him. I teach an improvisation class, and I teach a few ensembles, and it's just kind of, that's the great thing about working at a university is you kind of don't really have to answer to anyone sometimes. So it's nice.
Yeah, that would be interesting to follow up on, especially in this community, hear what goes on. We've been talking about music. Why don't we play some more music?
Sure.
What do you want to do next?
Let's see. You want to try that What a Wonderful World?
Sure.
Sure.
Cool.
Well, that's a standard. Should know who wrote that one. And I can't think of it either. Neither can you.
It's a different type of standard. I mean, that's a lot. It's a much older tune
than...
It could happen to you, I would think. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I'm really speculating. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Well, you guys are all what? Mid-20s maybe, something like that?
Late 20s.
Yeah,
late 20s. I'm actually late 30s.
Are you really?
Or mid to late 30s, yeah.
I wouldn't
say
guess
mid,
that.
Mid
30s. Yeah.
Right.
I'm mid-20s, so I'll take
okay,
that.
Okay, there you go. Well, so you have some excuse for, I don't know the tunes either, because I've always been terrible at name that tune or remember who wrote that tune, or even if you said, if you played me Beethoven's Symphony No. 4, half the time I'd have to scratch my head. I don't know who it is. Well, anyway, What a Wonderful World. It's the Chris Raymond Trio here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. What a Wonderful World by George Douglas and George David Weiss. While you all were playing that, I went out and snagged this book called Who Wrote That Song? By Dick Jacobs and Harriet Jacobs, courtesy of our program director here at WILL. That was the Chris Raymond Trio here on Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is FM 90.9. More music to come. Support for today's broadcast is provided in part by Community Blood Services of Illinois, providing all donated blood for patients in Champaign-Urbana, Charleston, Mattoon, Danville, and Effingham. Blood donation takes only 45 minutes and saves lives. Donation information is at 367-2202 or on the web at bloodservices.org. I want to give you a few of the items on our music calendar here, music and theater calendar. Not too much going on the next few days, at least that I have on this calendar, but I do invite you, if you're aware of or involved with organizations that are giving performances, to let us know about them so we can put them on the calendar. You can email me anytime at willcalendar@illinois.edu. That's willcalendar@illinois.edu. Here's what I've got. Tonight at 7 o'clock, a free concert by the Decatur Municipal Band at Central Park in Decatur. Tomorrow night, the High School Musical is at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. That's at 8 tomorrow. And also then on Wednesday, two performances at 2 o'clock and 8 o'clock, and that continues for a while down there in Sullivan. On Wednesday, you can hear the Peoria Municipal Band at Glen Oak Park in Peoria. That also a free concert Wednesday evening at 7:30. And, in fact, High School Musical on stage also being presented by the Springfield Municipal Opera Association, the Springfield Muni. That's Wednesday at 8:30, and that continues also into the weekend. So those are just some of the goings-on in your area. Chris Raymond is the pianist with the trio, Chris Nolte, the bassist, Mark O'Connor, sax player. They're going to be playing Thursday at noon for an hour, a free program at Carl Clinic's Mills Breast Cancer Institute. They have a weekly music series every Thursday at noon, always free, and I know it's booked out through the end of the year, so something going on every week there of quite a wide variety, so it's always something worth checking out. And on tomorrow's Live and Local, we'll be hearing some barbershop music. Finally, something I've been wanting to get on the show, a quartet from Danville going to be joining us on the program tomorrow. So we try to get in lots of variety on Live and Local. I know we've got some more tunes coming up from you guys. Chris, I was looking, I said I'd refer to your bio in a little bit because there's a couple of things in here that piqued my curiosity. One is that you... says here, you composed an original score for Lucas Martel's animated short film Pigeon Impossible.
Right, yeah.
What's that all about?
Oh, that was a great project. He spent about 4 years working on this animated short. It's about 7-minute animation. That's pretty funny. I think it's funny. But he asked me to do the music for it, and we completed that a few years ago. We did half of it at a studio at Milliken using kind of a jazz band augmented with some strings and horns, like a studio orchestra, sort of. And we did the other half of the music down in Austin, Texas, with a symphony orchestra. And we did that live, you know, with the screens up, with the video playing and everything. It was a lot of fun.
And who is Lucas Martel?
He was a friend of mine. We did our undergraduate degree together at Milliken, and he moved down to Austin, and he's been working, doing animation for different video projects.
And what's the process, or what was the process in this case of doing something like that? Did he create the video first, and then you just put music to it? Or?
Yeah, he had a rough video created. Some of it was computer animated, not even motion. Sometimes it was stop time, and some of it was hand-drawn animation. Some of it was even a video, you know, just some action that he wanted to happen. He would videotape himself or something, you know, and then he gave me that product, and he put it together with some temporary music that he got. A lot of it came from the Incredibles soundtrack. You know, that, have you seen that cartoon?
I haven't, but
it's a great soundtrack. kind of spy music-ish. So he sent a lot of that music to me, and I just kind of copied and adapted and changed it the way that I thought suited his video better.
And is this something anybody could get hold of if they wanted to?
There's a lot of things up online. I think pigeonimpossible.com, I believe. And there's some web blogs and things like that that are up. And I'm sure that it's going to be available soon. I just got the finished product a month ago or so.
Oh, so this is pretty recent. I mean, it certainly has an intriguing name, Pigeon Impossible. I'm very curious to know what exactly that's got to do with
I think
with
he's going to be entering it into several festivals and different types of Seagraph, I think, is the name of one of them. It's things I'm not really familiar with that happen in that industry. So
did you? Was it basically a jazz score?
No, it was a film score. So there was some things that sounded kind of like a jazz instrumentation, but a lot of it was more orchestral.
And how long have you been writing music?
I've been writing music as long as I've been playing it, and it's something that's pretty intuitive for me. So that project, for example, I'd never done anything like that before, and I just kind of felt my way through it, and it worked out pretty well.
Does this have anything to do with your bachelor's in commercial music from Millikan?
What did that involve? That's a pretty vague term. Chris Nolte has one of those also.
Oh, is that right?
It's a pretty vague term, and we studied a lot of jazz while we were there, but we also did work in the studio that I guess helped me a little bit with that process. And I have been studying composition with a lot of different professors and things like that. So I guess I've been just doing it for for a while.
Well, what constitutes commercial music anyway? Either you guys can answer that.
It's referring to, you know, the music industry, recording studios and popular music and things like that. And a lot of people associate jazz with popular music.
So that would be kind of commercial music?
Yes.
See, I just think of it as, you know, music for commercials or,
I think they
know,
mean music that the process of making money while making music, I think.
So music that actually makes money.
Yeah, or just, yes.
As opposed to, say, classical music, which may or may not make money.
Right.
Depending on a lot of things. Well, let's hear some more music. What do you want to do next?
Days of Wine and Roses,
sure,
by Henry Mancini.
Oh, I didn't give him a chance to look that up.
And actually, I think the lyrics were by Truman Capote.
We'll verify that shortly while you're playing. It's the Chris Raymond Trio here on FM 90.9. Thank you. That was great. Really like that. Days of Wine and Roses. Johnny Mercer wrote the words.
Oh, dread.
Henry Mancini wrote the music. And this has all kinds of information here. It's introduced in the film called Days of Wine and Roses by an unnamed vocal group. It won an Academy Award and was popularized both by Henry Mancini and his orchestra, logically enough, and the vocal version by Andy Williams.
Oh, interesting.
So there you go.
Going to need to get a copy of that book.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's great. Who wrote that song? We happen to have the second edition, Dick Jacobs and Harriet Jacobs. Words and music. Who wrote the words and music to more than 12,500 American popular songs?
Wow,
that's a lot of songs.
That's a great resource. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go. So you can find out all about those things. That was the Chris Raymond Trio playing here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. We'll have time probably for one more tune, since these are pretty extended tunes, which is great to just sort of, I mean, you could play these things. You could just let it go forever if you wanted.
Mm-hmm. Sure. We could play short tunes as well.
Wait, what? What?
I've been listening to some of the earlier Thelonious Monk recordings, and a lot of those were radio length, you know, so he would play his tunes and it would be only 1.5 times through. I was enjoying that, just hearing just a quick little version, because these days you hear someone play and one person's solo it has to be 8 minutes long, or else you're not playing everything you can play.
You're not making a real statement.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, and then, of course, there were different kinds of restrictions then, both on radio, they had certain kinds of formats. And then if you made a recording, and in the really olden days, then you were limited to the length of a side of a 78 record, I don't know, how short was that?
I think a whole side of a 78 was about 5 minutes tops, maybe.
Yeah, so then you'd have to make a studio version of whatever tune that might well go on. I mean, maybe in live performance, he took that same tune for 10 minutes or so.
Right.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, let me mention, because I have to, and I'm pleased to anyway, say that today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Lincoln Diagnostics Incorporated of Decatur, Michael W. Walker Consulting of Urbana, Natural Gourmet of Champaign, and Prairie Ridge Farms Incorporated of Allerton. These business partners join the friends of WYLL in making great programs possible. We thank you for your support. We thank all of our listeners who support this station with your financial contributions. As we say many times, we couldn't do it without you, and that is the truth. If you'd like to contribute to support this program or any other on the WYLL stations, you can do that anytime at willpledge.org. Willpledge.org is the web address. Just click on the pledge button. Chris Raymond is the pianist for his trio, and he's joined here by the drummerless version of his trio. In the case of the drummer substitute, sort of, tenor sax player Mark O'Connor, bassist is Chris Nolte, and you're kind of a regular member of the trio, kind of.
Yeah, you could say that. Like Chris mentioned, I also went to Millikan, and I'm actually originally from Decatur as well, and Chris and I have actually been playing since high school.
Yeah, I think it's been about a decade.
About the same amount of time.
Starting to feel old.
We actually went to different high schools in Decatur, but still managed to do some playing together, and played through undergrad and now grad school.
So you know each other musically pretty well.
Yes, yes.
Very.
So when you say you've played, meaning you've played together most of that time. Yeah, so, and you've had, I mean, Chris, at the outset you said you've had some other permutations of this trio as well. What else might slip in besides the bass or the drums?
Well, I guess since I've been in town, there's been enough changeover with musicians around, and I tend to want to, I would rather play with people that I want to play with than a specific instrumentation. So I've done anything from a group without a bass player, drums, keyboard, and saxophone. I've also done larger groups, quartet. I don't think I've done anything larger than that, though. Quartets and trios, usually. Sometimes I do some duo things, just two people, especially private parties or restaurants or something, a smaller space.
Yeah, restaurants probably don't usually want the drums there.
Right.
Because then people can't have their intimate conversations. Yeah. And you all play in other people's, you know, other groups and
These guys are both working.
Often as possible.
Working a lot, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's great. Well, we're glad that you were able to coordinate schedules and come in here and do the show. You sound terrific. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, believe it or not, I think this is the first time that this particular trio is really playing together.
You're not supposed to say that.
Oh. Well, that makes it all the more amazing, right? That it's come together. Well, we've got 4 minutes left on the show.
Okay.
So you've got about 3.5. What's the 3.5-minute version of your next tune?
You guys want to do Bluesette?
Sure.
Yeah, it's fine.
We can try and keep it down to that. This is Toots Thielemans' Bluesette.
Okay. It's Chris Raymond Trio on Live and Local. Listening to the Chris Raymond Piano Trio here on your Jazz Trio here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. It's going to be a partly sunny afternoon with a high temperature of 85 degrees. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy, the low 60. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, the high 82, and the outlook for Thursday, mostly sunny with a high temperature of 83 degrees. We're at 83 right now, coming up on a minute past 1 o'clock. Bob Christensen has more music for you in just a moment. I'm Kevin Kelly for Live and Local. This is WYLL 90.9 FM and HD Urbana. Operating translators, W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana.